I'm so delighted to be with you, and I know it has been 3 years since we see each other. So my last time, my last visit at Providence was year of 2019 BC, before COVID, because we are in 2020 AC, after COVID. I bring you greetings from my churches, or the God's churches that he allows me to shepherd. The church that I'm pastoring, it's a name, the name of the church is Calea Spre Cer. That's a Romanian name, but if I'll translate that, we're going to be Way to Heaven Baptist Church. And we are Baptist, and we are not proud of that, but we are proud of being children of God and children of promise. Also, there is another church that I help about 20 minutes away from us, and there is a church that I shepherd in Negoi, where we are in the process of building the building for that church. But all of the brothers and sisters in Christ overseas greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank the pastors of this church for allowing me to be with you and to share from the Word of God, Josh and Rex. Of course, Rex couldn't be here. But I had great time visiting with them. And also, I want to thank you for the warm welcoming. I mean, I know it's warm in Florida, but you made it count for me. And I felt like home being with the Hill family. And thank you guys for hosting me and make me, feel not so far away from my family and make my time easier here. And I thank God for you guys and for everybody in his church and in this church. And before I want to go to the scriptures that has been read, I want to show you a picture of my family that is greeting you. And this is, as you can see, is my wife Monica, and or Monica in English if you want. And there the oldest one is Amishadai. She's 12 now, if you can believe that. I have to buy myself a good gun. Maybe Mr. Bucher is going to help me with that. And there is Adara, who is 5 now. And as you can see, they are very beautiful like their mother, but very wise like their mother also. Well, this is my wonderful family that I thank God for. And I can say it's a grace, because I didn't deserve anything of this, and it's God's grace. Amen? Amen. Well, I have heard an old pastor talking to young pastors, and he gave them a bit of advice in what means to preach. And he said to the young pastor, all the time, you have to have a little bit of math when you going to preach and you're preparing for your sermon. He says, the length of the sermon or the number of minutes in your sermon cannot exceed the number of years of your life. I'm 43 now. Somebody said, uh-oh. I want to make sure that I'm not long in my sermon. That's why I brought a big watch with me so I can see it. The only problem of this watch is that it's not working. So, anyways, I got it, and probably it's, they say even the watch that's not working, it's true twice a day, right? Yeah, okay, so I hope it'll be true this time. Okay, let's look in the Word of God that it has been read. And before we go to the passage, I want to share with you a little bit about the context of this passage, of this Galatians book. As you know, there was not only one church that Paul wrote when he wrote Galatians. It will be some churches, few churches in an area of Galatia. Now, the big problem then, and you can imagine the church like 30-some years after it was established got problems, how much more problems we have now 2,000 years apart from that. But the big problem of the church those days was that the people will be taught the Word of God, and somebody else will gonna come and say, this is not enough. You have to do more than that. So Paul is preaching the gospel. He said, you are saved by Jesus' blood and only by Jesus Christ's blood. And the people are going to come and say, the Judaizers are going to come and say, hey, that's not enough. Maybe it's okay, but not enough. You have to circumcise. You have to keep the law. You have to not abandon the old traditions of the Judaism. So here we go, Paul having this conflict in the churches, and he wants to straight up the teaching, and he wants to tell them very plain, what is the gospel? If you want, if you wish, he makes the big words of the theologians in a special way or simple way for the people to understand, but also to be confident that what they have is the true gospel. Now, preaching, it's easier because we see what happened. Being Paul's or being or walking in Paul's shoes won't be that easy, because he is just dealing with this constant, you know, teaching, false teaching in the churches. Sometimes if you read Galatians, Paul is very strong. Sometimes looks like he is very tough. Sometimes you think Paul is heartless. He doesn't care about people leaving the church or about people not going to the church anymore. But Paul's commission is this, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ brought him to the point where he wants to ensure them something very, very important. You know, when we are born in a family, we don't choose our family, right? But we are part of the family, and nothing in this world can take this away from us. Nothing. Now, if somebody gonna tell me that I'm not my parents' boy, would I believe them? No, because I know for sure I was born in that family, and I bear their name. And their blood is in my vein, right? I'm sure. We are children of God. The problem is that Satan comes many times in many fashions to attack this very thing, saying, you're not any more children of God. How do you know you are children of God? So these doubts that Satan wants to plant in our mind, they are for to weaken us. But if we are sure on what gospel says, what the Bible says, that's going to be strengthen us. Because the truth cannot be replaced by anything in this world. The truth is truth. They can try. They can have all kind of, you know, tricks and schemes, but that will not going to be changed ever. So the truth, it's in the Word of God. Sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is the truth. Now, I want to look in our passage, knowing all of these things, and look at what Paul tells Galatians in chapter 28. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. Doesn't say you will be. Doesn't say you have to strive to be. Doesn't say something, sometime may happen. It says you are. This is the present. Right now, you are children of promise. Well, the problem is this. What children of promise means? What it means to be a children of promise? Okay, I am children of promise, but what is this meaning in my life? In first place, we read in verse 23, that the children of promise are born not in a natural way, but in a supernatural way. Amen? Wow. This truth is great truth. Everyone who is born again. Everyone who is born again. I'll say it for the third time. Everyone who is born again is born from above. Ask me to explain. I can't. I've been to a seminary. I'm going after my master's degree now. And I can't. You know why? Because it's something from above. Well, I can tell you the difference between my life before and my life now. I can tell you that the gospel changed my life, but if you ask me the process and how God did that, I cannot explain. It's a supernatural thing. That belongs only to God. I don't understand why God chose me. Well, I'm not pretty, as you can see. I'm not very smart, and you can see for yourself. I'm not very good man, as Kelly family can testify. Why me? You know, Nicodemus talked to Jesus, and he's kind of interested in the theological things there. And goes to Jesus, and before he asked his question, Jesus said this, "You must be born again." Now, Nicodemus is in a fog. How is that possible? John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, if you want to read later on. How can it be possible? An old man to go back in his mother's womb and then, it's not possible. Humanly, it's not possible. Humanly speaking, it's not possible. And Jesus talked to Nicodemus and said, what is born in the flesh is flesh. But you have to be born again. What is this meaning? So Jesus gave him a little bit of understanding. It's like the wind, Jesus said. You don't know from which direction comes and where it goes, but you only can see the effects of the wind, right? You don't know where it started. You don't know where it's ending, but you see the effects. Sometimes good effects are going to, you know, chill and stuff. Sometimes not really good effects, but you see it. And Jesus continued and say, this is exactly the same with those who are born from above. You have to see that thing happen sometime in your life. If nothing changed, if everything is the same, then that means the problem there. You're not born from above. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read, especially in verses 4 through 6, that we were dead in our trespasses. Actually, we was dead men walking in our sin. And then something happened, you know, something unexpectedly happened. And Paul says, but God. You know, we are dead men walking, but God. What God did? He raised us up. How? In a supernatural way. God is in a business of supernatural things, and he is in a business of bringing children in his kingdom, in his family, in a supernatural way. It's not a natural way, because if it would be a natural way, it would be like a political party. I'm signing up for this party or for that party, and I'm part of that party, and that's natural. We don't sign up to be a part of the church. If somebody does that, he's doing that against his own soul. We are part of Jesus' family, being born from above. Amen. A second thing that is like a characteristic of a children of the promise is that the children of promise are the children of the new covenant. We read that in verses 24 to 26. We are children of the new covenant, not of the old covenant. Now, what's the deal with the new and old covenant? Well, the old covenant, I want to tell you this, it was between God and one nation, right? Between God, Jehovah, Adonai, and the nation of Israel. If you don't happen to be Israeli, you're out of that covenant. You are not part of the covenant. Now, the new covenant is between God and his people from all nations. In other words, the new covenant is between God and his church. Amen? People from Florida, from Rust, from Nagoy, from Germany, from Africa, from everywhere. It's in the new covenant. And this new covenant, it's a better covenant. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 7 through 13, we're going to tell us that it's a covenant who does not have blemish. It's perfect covenant. It's better covenant. The writer of Hebrew who's going to show us that Jesus is better than the old priesthood, better the old sacrifice system and everything. Jesus is better. And his covenant, it's a better covenant in foremost because he doesn't have any blemish. Then the new covenant is not, as I said, between God and one nation, and it's between God and whole nation, we can say. Or as John Stott stated once, between God and his new society. What is this meaning? That means that it's God and his people from all nations. You know, in other words, the church of Jesus Christ. And then the new covenant, it's a new life in Christ. John 10:10 is really easy, right? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And the verse doesn't end there, praise God. Because Jesus continue and say, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The new covenant means a new life, an abundant life. Well, in first place, spiritual abundancy. Sometimes God allows us to have more than we deserve on this earth. More than just our daily bread. But this is not what Jesus means in this verse primarily. He means abundant life, abundant spiritual life. So the children of promise are the children of new covenant, which means that it's a better covenant, which means it's a covenant between God and many nations of the earth, and means it's a covenant, it's a new life in Jesus Christ. It's a new life in Jesus Christ. In Romania, people are holding today old traditions. And maybe you want to know why. Because this gives them security. If you do this, you're going to get that. It's that simple. If you do this, the priest is going to pray for you when you'll be dead and you don't know anything. And he'll going to usher you in heaven. But you have to do this. Old traditions. That's why people worship dead. That's why people worship, you know, all kind of stupid things, in our opinion. Because they want the old tradition. The old give them security. Now I tell you what. The children of promise are the children of a new covenant which gives us the best security. Amen? Amen. The new covenant gives us the best security. You know why? Because Jesus said, I will put my word in. It's not like if you do that, you'll get that. That's the old covenant, right? If you will obey, you'll be blessed. If you'll do that, you're going to inherit the land and everything. It's like, I will do something. The new covenant is about what God does in us and through us. It's about what God did in us and for us. Now, what I am doing for God is not to please him and kind of make him usher me because I did, or, you know, I spoke these words and I did. What I am doing is like it's like saying thank you. It's a result of what he does in my life. What I'm doing for Christ, what you do for Christ, what we do for Christ, is just the result, is just the fruits of what he did for us long ago. The children of promise are children of the new covenant. Aren't you glad we are living under the new covenant? Amen. Amen. Well, this thing doesn't work. But I'll try to keep moving, okay? We go to the third point, and we can read in the Bible in verse 29 that the children of covenant will be persecuted by those who are not born again. Now, this is not really good news, huh? You'll say, well, we don't expect that. I mean, it's like I'm serving Jesus. Why I need to face persecution? Well, 2 Timothy 3:12 is the last writing of Apostle Paul before he goes to meet his Savior. And he writes to young Timothy, younger than him anyways. Very young, maybe in a pastoral role. And he gives him the last advisors. Hear what he says in chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We may not face the same degree of persecution like our forefathers of faith, like apostles. Like people in other countries, you've been praying for the persecuted church over the globe. And maybe we don't face that yet. But some persecution is going on in everyone's life. Everyone's life. Some degree of persecution is going on. Maybe you don't face the persecution we did under the communism. Because doing that, you know, there was like a persecution had many forms and shapes. I think you've read about, or you've heard at least about a name, a guy by name of Richard Wurmbrand. Maybe Richard Wurmbrand will be the way you're going to pronounce the name. But he was a Jew, and he, actually, this is Richard Wurmbrand, okay? 14 solid years in a communist prison. You know why? Because he will not going to deny Jesus. They said, we want to make you deny Jesus. They put him in a cell where they don't have windows. They don't have nothing. They don't see the light. They don't have watches there. They don't know if it's a day or if it's a night. I mean, we're going about to have the Lord's Supper. They did it with water and a little bit of bread. You know how they did it? They knocked in the door, in the wall of the next cell. And by knocking, they found out they are Christians and they got the Lord's Supper in two separate cells. What? He doesn't want to deny the one who saved him and made him children of promise. Maybe you'll never face that kind of persecution. I remember being a young boy, like 8, 9 years old. Every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, that was the holy hour for us, besides the 10 o'clock church time, where we turn on the radio, on Radio Free Europe, to listen to a sermon by a Romanian pastor who fled communism, lived in America, and preached on the radio. You know how? With the windows blinded with a blanket, for two reasons, to not be seen and to not be heard. And I remember taking turns to hold the antenna so we don't lose the frequency, the signal. Maybe you're not going to do that, ever. But there is some persecution. Maybe it's a fellow worker that he doesn't like you're a Christian and you bow down your head, bow your head and pray before your meal. Probably he'll gonna mock you because you believe in Christianity's values in the Bible. Probably they'll mock your old book saying you're gonna read that old stuff out of date. Come on, out of date? It's like it was written yesterday. I don't know what kind of persecution you will face. I don't know what kind of persecution we will face. But we have to get ready for that. Ishmael persecuted Isaac. And they still do that. That's the picture here. The normal born children, which will be Ishmael, persecuted the one who was born by promise, Isaac. You know what? The people who don't know Jesus, who are not born again, will not going to have any problem to throw darts, to throw arrows, to throw rocks on us. You know what I mean by this. They don't have any problem to do that. They will be glad and satisfied if they will do that. Well, we have to take the word at heart. And we have to be a witness for God no matter what. And we have to face that saying, Lord, thank you for, making me worthy to suffer for your name. One of our teachers in seminary said, to be God's children cost you nothing. Jesus paid it all. Amen? But to follow him may cost your life. To follow him may be persecuted. Are we willing to still follow Jesus? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Why? Because if I look ahead, I see Jesus. I see his cross. I see heaven. I see his place. And when I look back, I see only shame. I see only my past that I am ashamed of. Looking there, I see the new covenant. Looking there, I see I'm a children of promise. Looking there, I see my reward. Looking back, I'll see my wages of sin, which is death. Well, if God is going to allow us to face some kind of persecution, let's pray that he will enable us to represent him well with honor and then to face that knowing that he is the one who's going to reward us. Amen? That brings us to the fourth point. And this is a good news. Again, we go to the good news again. It's verse 31st from chapter 4. In verse 1 for chapter 5, from chapter 5, the children of promise are free. Amen? Well, the freedom, it's what we call it, the right that everybody was born with, right? It's freedom that everybody strive for. It's freedom that everybody wants. Now, the problem is that not everybody understands what real freedom means. Galatians, apparently, they didn't understand what freedom means. God spoke through Paul and said, so then, brethren, we are not the children of the bound woman or a slave woman, but we are of the free woman. We are free. We were born free and to be free. Chapter 5, verse 1, it was for the freedom that Christ set us free. Now, they did not understand what freedom means. Why? Because in the same chapter 5, verse 13, Paul needs to clarify. And look what what the Apostle Paul says. For you will call to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You know, Galatians took that freedom to the edge. He said, I'm free, I can do anything I want. I can do everything I want because I am free. After communism fall in Romania in the year of 1989, I was testifying this. And you can see in the cities and the villages, people going out the streets and yelling from the top of their lungs, freedom, freedom. Everybody was glad that we are free. Now, you know what was the next problem of all of those people? They did not understand what freedom means. Now, I see one of my fellows taking a rock and throwing and breaking some windows. And I said, man, that's not right. He said, I am free. You cannot tell me what to do. I am free. Is this the freedom God called us to? Not at all. Freedom is not an alibi to live the way I want. It's not a pretext to live the way I want. But freedom is for me and you, for all of us, to serve one another in love. You know, the yoke of slavery, the yoke of the law, was heavy on their neck. Why? Over 600. Yeah, you heard right. Over 600 commandments that they have to keep. Going to the temple or maybe to the tabernacle or wherever in the Sabbath day, you cannot wear or you cannot have on you your handkerchief. If you want to blow your nose, you'll do it in your robe. Well, to avoid that, they're going to sew the handkerchief on. Why? They say this: you are doing labor. You carry something on you. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. You cannot walk as long as you want. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. You remember in the Old Testament, there was somebody who just got some, you know, some dry wood to build a fire, and he was killed because he did that in a Sabbath day. That's the yoke. That's the slavery of the law. Jesus came to set us free from this, which means that we have the freedom to serve one another. We have the freedom to serve one another in love. Not anyhow, but in love. I have the freedom to serve you, the Word of God. You have the freedom to serve me. We have the freedom to serve one another. You have the freedom to serve those kids who are going to receive your children, your Christmas box with OCC. You have the freedom to pray for those who are persecuted. We have the freedom to serve one another. That, if you want, we have the freedom to wash each other's feet by our actions and by our deeds. We have that freedom. We have that freedom. We are not under the yoke of the law, of the slavery, that, if you wish, of the law. And this freedom is to be used in a right way. Now, very briefly, if you can bear with me, this thing doesn't work, still doesn't work. We have to fix that problem somehow, but we'll do it next time. I'll bring a watch big enough and working, okay? Promise that. Three conclusions. Three conclusions of this passage. In first place, the children of promise are so blessed. Amen? But sometimes they are put to test. Some persecution they are to face. And this is the test in our life. This is the test we need to take. And this is the test we need to pass. Now, thinking about the persecution we may face and the blessings he poured upon us. As Paul says, the afflictions of this world is nothing compared with what is in heaven. Thinking about the afflictions we may face on this earth is nothing comparing to the blessings that he is pouring upon us already. And how about those who are to come? Amen? Children of promise are blessed, but also test. It's like a poem, little poem, but, you know, it's easy to retain that in our hearts. We are blessed, but also sometimes we are tested. Second conclusion is that Jesus Christ set us free from sin and the law's yoke to serve him and one another, not to do what we want to do. We are set free to serve one another, not to do what we want to do. Why? Because our fleshly desires are within us. We can't get rid of them. Well, one day I was walking in the city of Bailej near us, like 15, 20 minutes drive. And there is a guy who has some Bibles there and some Christian literature. And if you don't know that about me, I'm attracted to the conflict. Where is the conflict? Boom, I'm there. So I see this man, I know I'm like a prophet. I know it'll be a conflict there. So I'm walking there, and I'm like, and he approached me, and he said, "Sir, I would like to offer. I'm bring it on." He gave it to me, and I'm asking you who you are. He said, "I'm a child of God." Man, that's great. What church do you go to? Oh, it's a universal church. We don't have a name. Problem. We got to the point in our discussion when he testified and he confessed that to me. He said, since I got saved, I never sinned. I took three steps back. I thought the lightning was going to come. And I don't want to be close to this guy. So I'm like, what? punch me to see if I'm in heaven or I'm still on this earth. He said, I never, never, ever commit a sin. Whew, hard. You know why? Because our fleshly desires are fighting in us. Well, flesh fights against the spirit. Spirit fights against the flesh. We cannot do whatever we want to do. We are subject to this fight every single day. That guy didn't know what he's talking about. He was maybe so proud or maybe so arrogant. I don't know. I left him. I took the literature for one reason, to throw it away so nobody else. I mean, I take away something from somebody who can be, you know, poison. I took the poison for one person and I throw it away. Don't ask me how I did that. I won't tell. But we live in this flesh. And as long as we live here, we're going to be facing, you know, loss. We're going to be sinning. Well, Jesus freed us from the law. Not to do what we want, but to do what is right. Amen? Third, let us use the freedom we have in every form and aspect to tell others what is mean, what means to be the children of promise. Let us use the freedom we have in all of its aspects to let everybody around us, as we heard at the Sunday school, to tell everybody around us what means to be a children of promise. Let's pray.